Good evening. Welcome back to the third hour. It's 11 o'clock, and you are tuned in to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Mr. Tim Dennis. I appreciate you spending your weekend evenings here with us at our new home on the FM dial. We've got a lot of great guests that are going to be coming up over the next couple of months, so hopefully you'll stay tuned with us. We've got another local author and guest who's going to share the next hour with us. Her name is Annie Wilder, and I will tell you, we originally interviewed her on our podcast going on almost 3 years ago. I think it was our second guest. And I will tell you, to this day, Annie, I've read in 3 years, I can't even begin to tell you how many books I've read on every haunted house and ghost story and everything like that that's been out there. Your book still sticks with me. I can remember vividly sections of the book that still creep me out just in memory.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
It's one of my favorite ghost story books. I tell everybody to pick this up. And I shouldn't say ghost story, then it makes it sound like it's a falsity, but it's an actual true account of this house that you've bought and you moved into. Now, for all of our new listeners and for the people that maybe didn't hear the show from 3 years ago, let's go ahead and refresh. First of all, our guest is Annie Wilder. She's the author of House of Spirits and Whispers. It's a true story of her haunted house that she owns here in Minnesota. And give us a little background on this, Annie, as we go forward. Now, you bought this house in what year?
1994.
And this house, it almost called you, right? I mean, this...
There were weird circumstances regarding this house. I had been looking for a new house for about a year and a half, and I had offers in on three houses that I thought I was going to get, including one just a week or so before I saw this, where it had been on the market for a few days. I gave them their asking price. I offered their asking price. And I asked for their porch swing. And because I did that, somebody came in with a higher offer, and that I lost that house, even though I didn't expect to. But my realtor called me, and I was 3 weeks away from the move-out day on my other house. And he said, all right, there's this house. I don't know what's wrong with it, because it's really inexpensive, but it sounds like exactly what you're looking for. It's an old Victorian, hardwood floors, porches, and we went to look at it, and when we pulled up, I thought it looked sort of spooky and deserted, but as soon as we stepped inside, we both knew it was haunted.
Really? So, even the realtor could get that sense, huh?
Even the realtor did. In fact, I said, I had heard before we looked at it that an old man had lived here, and he had died 6 months before the date that we went and looked at it. Mm-hmm. But the house literally looked like no one had been there for decades. It just looked deserted and very, lost in time or sort of empty. But when we stepped in the back door, the realtor, Todd, who I got to know pretty well in a year, said, do you want me to see if the old man died at home? And I said, that would be good.
Right.
Because we both felt like we were being watched from the moment we stepped inside. So this house was a grand old house that had sort of just faded into not exactly disrepair, because Leon, the old man who had owned it, who is the main ghost, had kept it up as far as repairs because he was a carpenter. But the house definitely looked like it needed some love and color and light and attention, like a woman's touch.
Sure. And this house that you bought, I mean, and this is why we wanted to have you on, because, you know, we had you on, you shared some of the ghost stories with us from this, and it's been almost 3 years, so I'm sure that more things have happened to you since then.
We've had more things happen, and actually one of the interesting things that has happened is I've had several psychics come through, and you and your crew came through with Robert Baca and CJ Sellers.
Exactly.
And I have found out that Robert Baca said something very intriguing.
Well, let's cover that. I want to, in the first bit here, though, we'll cover that going into the second segment.
Okay.
I want to cover a little bit more just to kind of give some of the people the flair for this book, right? Now, you moved in, and how soon into this did it happen for you? I mean, how soon into this did you start to have stuff begin to happen?
Well, within a couple weeks. I mean, we felt the heaviness and the feeling like you were being watched immediately. And the house had been built as a single-family home originally. And then in the 1930s, it was converted into a duplex. And in the 1960s, Leon, the old guy, had converted it into a triplex. And he had lived in the back apartment of the triplex, and that's where his, that's where the house felt the most haunted. It was very, it didn't feel evil, but it felt heavy and gloomy and like somebody was watching you. And the interesting thing is we, I had, my two kids were at home at the time, and then we had another young family member move in with us, but we sort of left the back part of the house alone. We had to walk through the back kitchen to get into our part of the house, but basically it's like that's the ghost part of the house, and right. we'll take this part.
Okay.
So, and what happened was we heard the first real, you know, undeniable ghost activity was a week or two after moving in, I woke up and I heard a woman's voice. And I am sort of, I'm really intuitive. I'm a little bit psychic. I really wish I were more psychic, but I've never had the kind of experiences I've had in this house. And I woke up and I heard a woman's voice, and it was a very odd voice. I've since heard more spirit voices, and I think this is, these are characteristics of spirit voices, but her voice was very hollow and almost metallic sounding. And I couldn't quite make out what she was saying. I could almost make it out. It wasn't like the Charlie Brown teacher, but it was not quite discernible. And it sounded like I was hearing half of a conversation because there were normal pauses and just conversational cadence in the, you know, voice. But the other thing that was really unusual about it is it sounded like a voice that was being played at high volume. Because when you talk loud, you know, it changes the way that your voice comes across.
Right.
But it wasn't that. It was just a regular conversational tone, but it was really, really loud. And I was trying to figure that out, and the voice became silent after a few minutes. And then I started hearing this pounding in the walls. It was just, I'm pounding on my table now.
Right.
It was just this.
And I'll tell you, this is one of the first parts, because this is right in the beginning of the book, and right. I'm a parent, you know, I've got six kids, and as I'm reading your book, literally, my ex-wife can attest to this, I'm looking over the top of my book into the dark hallway of our home, and my heart's racing, I'm catching my breath, and not many books do that to me. Stephen King does that to me on occasion, you know, Dean Koontz can get me sweaty palmed, but to read that section, and you know, when you, I almost hate to talk about it on the air because, oh, it's knocking on a wall, yeah, real creepy,
yeah,
but
yeah.
The way you write it and the pounding and knowing, holy crap, this is coming from my kid's room,
right?
And you have that moment of I don't want to go check this, but you have to because you're the parent,
right?
I totally relate to that, and unfortunately relate to it a little too well now, because you know, my son about 2 years ago came downstairs with my ex-wife at the time, and she said, tell daddy what's going on upstairs. And, you know, he saw a little girl ghost. He thought it was his little sister running around. And I said, no, honey, she's in her crib. She can't get out. And he goes, no, I know, daddy. He said, it's like that boy on the top bunk.
Oh.
And I laughed. I said, well, honey, that's your brother. And he said, no, daddy, Nathan is sleeping. This little boy is sitting on the top stair looking at me like this. And my son looks like Opie. You know, he's red hair, freckles, just a cutie. And all of a sudden he tips his head and he just gets this Damien look on his face.
Oh, geez. Oh, that would be terrifying.
So now I know my other son is upstairs sleeping in bed with this creepy little freaky ghost sitting next to him. And my initial inclination was I just grabbed my son Linus. I go, will you just sleep here with daddy tonight? And then I'm laying there for like a few minutes and I'm like, God, don't be a jerk. You got to go up there. But it's that moment of, holy crap, I don't want to go up and face this thing. But it's, you're a parent, you have that draw. So I'll tell you, that literally was one of the scariest parts of the book to me.
Oh, that's cool. That was the
only thing. It just grabs you like that. Oh.
It motivated me. It's like, I'm the parent. I have to go see. And my kids were teenagers. A lot of parents, or, well, people, I assume they're parents.
Well, see, if they were teenagers, I'd have just left them there. Sorry, you guys are on your own. Daddy's coming up for the 5-year-old, but not for the 12-year-old. You're on your own. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, they, you know, people have said, like, you know, don't you feel like you were putting your kids in danger? And I don't. I wouldn't have bought the house if I did. Because it never felt evil. It just felt heavy and gloomy, and I know how to deal with that. And I also, my kids were teenagers. If they would have been toddlers or something, I probably would have given it a lot more thought. But that is another thing that people have told me about the book, too, that it's written from, like, inside my mind and the emotions that I felt. It's not just this happened, then that happened.
Right.
Yeah, so Thanks for the compliment.
Oh, no problem. And the other one, you know, and I don't like to give away, you know, I've always tried to guard the secrets of your book because I think the read is the terrifying aspect.
Right.
But as we're heading into the, you know, we're going to take a break here in about a minute and a half, and then we're going to start to talk about some of the newer stuff that's happened to you. I do want to mention, you know, one of the favorite stories that we get on here are the shadow people that seem to appear in people's bedrooms. And the experiences you've had with this dark, oily, greasy-looking figure that showed up in your room. And again, talking about books and moments that just stand out in time for you is when I read the section when you woke up and felt something there in the bed and you felt its tongue go into your ear.
Right.
I still, when I, I just got the heebie-jeebies talking. No, I'm 6'1", 240 pounds. I go out ghost hunting. I go into Waverly Hills Sanitarium, Rolling Hills, Queen Mary, Stanley Hotel. I'll stay in the creepiest, darkest room in the world until I think something's going to stick its tongue in my ear. Then I'm out. Count me out.
I'm kind of turned on right now.
But
yeah,
Annie, that is one of the...
Once. Yeah, that only happened once.
Oh, well, that's all it'd need to take. I would have burned the house down and said, oh, sorry. Sorry, Leon. but that to me is frightening. Now, Leon, though, you mentioned is the main ghost of the house.
Leon is the main ghost of the house.
And you feel that he's kind of the protector or the watcher of the home, or has been.
I do.
And these other little ghosts, and you've got the sisters that have shown up.
The old-fashioned spirit sisters.
Right, you've had this greasy, oily kind of...
Dark man.
You know what, I have you ever seen the movie Jeepers Creepers yet?
No, this is going to sound weird to you, but I hardly ever watch scary movies because it makes me too scared. It makes me scared in my house, and I don't want to be scared in my house.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to look online and get a picture of the creeper. I just want you to see, because the way you describe him in your book is this is how I picture him every time, and now you'll know why I'm so freaked out.
Okay.
But I'm going to send you this picture from the first Jeepers Creepers movie, and we'll discuss that. So you've had all this stuff going on. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear a little bit more about what's going on with you now and since the book came out. And again, we're speaking to author Annie Wilder. She has one of the best books out on the market about a real haunted house experience. It's called House of Spirits and Whispers. It's available everywhere online, Amazon.com. Check it out. You will not be dissatisfied. It is one of the best books I've read literally in the last 3 years, probably in the last decade for haunted house stories. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest Annie Wilder, and we'll be back with more. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Again, join us in our live chat room. Just go to darknessradio.com, click on the live chat, join in with the rest of our paranormal enthusiasts. You can talk about tonight's show or you can talk about your own personal experiences. Our chat room's open 24/7, the Para Investigator chat room. You can go in there and chat and talk. And if you're looking for help because of your haunted house, this is a way that you can go get some help as well. Also, we have some other fascinating links. Please check them out. And check out, hit the talk spot and join the boards there, the forums, and you'll see a link there for Darkness Radio. Come share your ghost stories, share your links to your paranormal groups, talk about UFO experiences, Bigfoot sightings, anything weird and unusual we want to hear about. So check out the website, click on the talk spot. You can also check our homepage there and the links for the podcast. Because remember, if you miss a show, you never really miss a show. It's always available within hours of the time it actually airs right on our site, so you can download it and listen to it, take it with you anywhere. MP3 format, it's great. I hope that you'll take that with you. Our guest tonight is Annie Wilder. She's the author of one of my favorite paranormal ghost story books. It's called House of Spirits and Whispers, and she's also a local native here to Minnesota with us, and that was part of the allure of having her back. I wanted to get her on and catch up. Now, as we said, you bought this house. Who was haunted by the old man Leon, and he kind of hung out in the back portion of the house and kind of kept an eye on stuff, and you ran into these ghostly sisters, you ran into this dark, greasy, oily man, and I don't know, did you get this picture I sent you during break?
I did, and I'm looking at it. Actually, that is more, the picture of Jeepers Creepers guy is more terrifying than Dark Man.
Well, that's good to hear, but that's the creepy picture. I mean, that's how well you paint this story. That's the freaky image I've had, and then when I saw Jeepers Creepers, it just made it even worse for me, so...
Well, there was something with Dark Man. The clothing actually is really similar, but Dark Man looked like a guy and not a monster, and
right.
he had a very, like, overly familiar sort of smirk that was scary and creepy.
Ugh, no, thank
you. You know? And the story with Dark Man is that I woke up one night, and he was standing beside my bed, just sort of kicked back, and looking down at me, and that was one of the scariest things that's happened here, because he just seemed like he was up to no good, and didn't belong here, and didn't look like just the spirit of somebody who might have lived in this house. There was something more ominous about him. And the oily clothes was just the kind of touch that, you know, that added a little more weirdness to it.
Interesting.
So,
well, so how many resident ghosts do you believe that you've had in the house that are actual resident, not transient, that have just kind of passed through?
I believe the primary resident ghosts are Leon and the two old-fashioned spirit sisters. Those are the primary ghosts, and those are the ones that I'd seen before. One of the things that I have heard from psychics, and that rings true to me, is that this house is filled with portals. There's one spot that almost every psychic who has come through here has picked up on, and weird stuff has happened by this portal. It's in the back hallway. But they say, there was a psychic here named Linda Drake. She's from Texas. And she was the most down-to-earth psychic I've ever met. She was very good. And while she was talking to Leon, he did his signature thing, which was rapping the walls. And I have heard knocks in the walls many times in the 14 years I've lived here, but I've never heard them in response to someone asking questions. And the spirit sisters were turning their light, which is a corner spotlight, in my parlor, off and on in response to her questions. But what Leon said to Linda Drake when she asked him about this house, she asked him if I moved, if he would move with me, because that's a question that people have asked me.
Right.
And he told her that he is fond of our family, but his place is here in the house. And he's not here all the time, but he comes and goes as needed. And he said that this house is like Grand Central Station for ghosts. And he said he was aware of it when he lived here in his body. And that's why when we moved in, this is in the book too, the back part of the house was like complete, the rest of the house was shut off from the back. It was all empty. It was dark, curtains drawn, shades pulled down. And in the back part of the house where Leon had lived were religious medals and little bits of palm fronds from Palm Sunday. And it was like that was his safe place in the house. And the spirit sisters, the two old-fashioned spirit sisters, told Linda that when Leon lived here in a body, he knew there was weird stuff going on in this house. And he set up like his fortress, and he protected himself the way he knew how. He was German Catholic, with religious medals. And when he heard weird noises and things like that in the house, he would go pound on the walls. And that just resonated as very plausible.
Sure.
Which is, you know, it seems like what a stubborn old guy would do when he's faced with something in his own home that he doesn't understand, that seems threatening, and he wants to make his stand, you know, get out of my house. So it's really interesting that that's still his way of communicating. But another thing that he told Linda is that she said, so this house is filled with portals, and she said, no, he's corrected me. He's saying doorways. And I said, well, you know what? He was a carpenter, and probably in his worldview, you know, he was born in the 1920s or 30s. Who knows if he even knew what a portal was? A doorway is his metaphor for what this house is filled with.
Well, you know what's interesting? In one of my theories that we've talked about on the show in the past about hauntings and real ghost stories is, you know, I often wonder, are we really dealing with a dead person, or are we dealing with a portal in time where we're seeing something? Now, isn't it interesting that Leon in life had these experiences where he knew something weird was going on and he would pound the walls? Well, if time is irrelevant,
right,
you're going to have to wrap your head around this and roll up a big fat doobie because I'm going to get all psychological on you. What if you were the one haunting him and your sounds in the house is what he heard then through the portal of time?
That's wild. That
so
is wild.
When you think about how transient time is and the thinning of the veils, if he was known to pound the walls because he heard weird stuff going on in the house and he's still pounding the walls for you, you know, I don't know. It's something to consider.
Well, two psychics have told me that I lived here before and that I was bound to come back. And that's one of the things that is interesting to me. I didn't feel any, I didn't like recognize any part of this house when I found it or when I walked through it, but I did feel like it was a perfect house for me. And I had always loved 7th Street, the street that I live on in this town. We used to go through the town and I could see all the old houses. But getting back to the Robert Bacha story, because I thought this was cool and this was an example of a psychic telling me something. It didn't exactly resonate with the information I had at the time, but he was later proven to be correct. This is Robert Bacha.
Yeah, and let's mention this real quick, too, because we're going to go to break here and again in a minute, so I want to lead up to this little story. Robert Bacha is a psychic medium that we also met in our first season of doing the show almost 3 years ago, and he was brought to our attention as being this really good, like, John Edwards-style psychic. So Tim and I, we did a, you know, he didn't know that I had a co-host, and Tim was my producer sitting in the studio with me, and he was going to do a little reading for me, and I brought Robert on, and I said, Robert, okay, we're going to get started. He goes, all right. I said, by the way, my co-host Tim is here. And he goes, oh, hi, Tim. Hey, Tim, there's somebody here for you. And he launches into this 40-minute reading for Tim that was spot on, and it was freaky spot on. So that's what kind of led us to the idea of, well, you know what, I'd like to do something here. And we met him again at a Health, Body, Mind, Spirit exposition here in Minneapolis. And he was there live, and during the break, I looked at Tim, and I said, why don't we do a Halloween deal with Robert out at Annie Wilder's house? And that's all I said to Tim, and he goes, yeah, that's cool. So we walked up to Robert. I go, hey, Robert, nice to meet you. He goes, oh, great to meet you. And I said, we had an idea for Halloween, doing a live event. And he just stops, and he stares off, and he just gets his faraway look, and he starts explaining the house to me. And he goes, it's an old house. It's like a Victorian, and there's this, and there's this, and there's a kitchen in the back, and this, and that, and the other. And then he goes, and I'm getting yellow and white, yellow and white, yellow and white. What does that mean? I said, you know, I don't know. Hold on. Let me go check. So I walk around the corner out of earshot, and I call Annie, and I go, Annie, I'm standing here with a psychic, and we told him we were going to do it. We were thinking about a live event. We didn't tell him where or what, but I was thinking of your house. And he began to describe your house, but he wants to know what's yellow and white, yellow and white. And at that time, go ahead and tell the audience, what did you just do to your house?
Yeah, I had just taken off the old siding that looked like brick. It wasn't brick. It was rolled roofing that looked like brick. And we were painting the house yellow and white.
And that was the uncanny, just freaky part for us.
In the back kitchen, that's pretty unusual.
Right.
And he said there was a man spirit in the back of the house, and that's where Leon hung out. And
right, and that was kind of the first link for us. Now, I'll tell you what, we're going to take our second break of the hour here. We're going to come back. We'll hear more about when we brought Robert Bacha to Annie's House of Spirits and Whispers. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Welcome back to the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. You're listening to Darkness Radio. We're here with you every weekend, Saturday and Sunday night from 9 p.m. to midnight. And again, if you miss the shows live, you can also check out our podcasts on the site. Go check out the podcasts. Check out Darkness Radio. You can hear our last 3 weeks worth of shows, and we'll be putting them up every time we have a brand new show, so you'll be able to keep up with them as we progress. Our guest tonight is the author Annie Wilder. In her book, House of Spirits and Whispers, it takes place here in Minnesota. In a house in Stillwater that she purchased. It's a creepy old Victorian house that she's refurbished and made her own. And we were just hearing about all the different ghosts and the different activity that had happened. And before the break, we were talking about Robert Bacha, the medium that I decided to bring out to your home. Now, we had two people in mind, and we'll talk about Robert's story, and then I'll briefly touch on the interesting thing that happened with CJ as well. But we brought Robert up, and I thought this was really a cool, interesting part of the story, too. We kept the mediums separate. So they didn't talk, didn't know what was going on. We brought Robert. Robert got out of the car, and all of a sudden he looked across the street at the house right across the street from you. And he said, wow, there's a lot of spirit activity in there. There's this, this, this. And he starts naming it. And we went over and talked to the lady, and it turned out that house used to be used for like a hospice, right? It was like for people. So he was picking up on all the spirits that were there, which led me to a good point because we were able to confirm it with the lady that lived there and then with you. So we brought Robert in. And he started doing his readings and connections. And Robert's really good at getting names and seeing things. But there was some stuff, and, you know, to be honest, there was some stuff that you kind of gave me the look out of the corner of your eye at, and because things weren't mashing up with what you knew about the house.
Exactly.
And, you know, there were a couple of characters like Slappy that showed up that we all had a good laugh over and some interesting things. But go ahead and let's start off with your part of the story that you found out later. And then I want to talk about the weird little story that happened between Robert and CJ.
So. Okay, cool. Well, yes, and I also want to say that I'm really grateful when any psychic takes the time to give me their impressions of the house, and I always just listen and take it in, because not everything can be verified. I'm interested in hearing people's opinions, but
right.
The thing that Robert said that did not resonate is that there had been there was a man's spirit in the house, and he had lived here in the 1870s. And at that time, I'd lived here for 12 years, and I had the wrong date for when my house was built. And this information was corrected 2 years ago when my house was on a historic tour for the city. And the city historian did some research for me, and she found out when my house was built. So he told me that there was a spirit here, a mentally ill ghost, who lived here in the 1870s or something like that. And at the time, I thought my house was built in 1891. So I thought, well, you know, people can get a date wrong. And he said, this is a mentally ill ghost, and he's still here. And I think the story was that the mentally ill ghost was perceiving himself in some weird way and unaware that he was seeing himself. So it was very complicated and freaky. But 2 years later, a year later, I found out from the city historian that not only was my house around in the 1870s, one of the owners at that time did end up dying in what they called the state insane asylum down in St. Peter.
Wow.
So that's the kind of thing that makes me just aware of how important it is to write everything down and withhold judgment and see what you can find out. So I thought that was cool.
Wow, very cool. Now, the other interesting thing I thought, as we're going through the house, Robert walks into your dining room,
mm-hmm.
and he stops, and he goes, there's a little girl here with us. Her name is, we'll call her Marie. I can't remember the name. Do you remember the name he gave her?
I think he gave the name Amy.
Was it Amy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he came in, he's like, okay, we have a little girl here. Her name is Amy. She's wearing this. She looks like that. She's this, that, the other. And you kind of looked at me and shrugged like, Dave, I don't know about any little ghost here named Amy. I've, you know, never come into contact with that.
I'm sorry. It's not Amy. It was Sarah. But
Sarah.
She said something about Amy or Annie or something. Okay.
Right. And so Sarah, we'll call her Sarah then. So he mentions Sarah, explains her to us, and, you know, we wrap up the investigation with him. Now we send him off in one car, and I call the hotel, and I say, okay, bring CJ Sellers over, who's another very good medium that we know. And CJ starts coming over with our driver. So they pass in the car, but they never get to talk. They don't cell phone each other. They don't text each other, nothing. We kept them separate. And they get to the house. And we do a walkthrough with CJ, and CJ is very good at picking up on things, but she's not good at names, and she'll admit that. She gets initials a lot, and she can't get a full name. And, you know, there were some things that she was jiving in on during the investigation that you knew to be true, and then it was really funny because we walked into that dining room, and she stopped almost on a dime right where Robert stopped, and she goes, oh, my, there's a little girl here. Her name is Sarah. And
right.
She went on describing this little girl, and then you had a bowl of candy on the table, and the little girl wanted the candy. I recall that, and it was just very intense to see two mediums walk into the same point, almost like the same portal, bam, and there it was. And they were both able to see and communicate with this little girl for a few moments and see what she wanted.
You don't know this, Dave, but another psychic who has been here twice, he's from California, has picked up on this same little girl. So, and that's really interesting to me because I don't have any awareness of her at all. The only time I've ever felt there was a child here was when
Tim and I were there? A couple of big children?
Yeah, exactly. No, there was, when I was in the back bedroom, which is a very scary bedroom, I would wake up every morning, there was this light tapping on a little child's chair that was in the room, just like a really gentle tapping. And it happened every morning for weeks. And I was thinking about that one day when I was sitting at my kitchen table and just wondering, you know, if it was a child or if it could be like a spirit of, I don't know, some little animal or something that was super small and tiny. And the pencil that was on the table, the middle of the table, just slowly rolled off the table and fell onto the floor. But I didn't get a visual or any feeling of boy, girl, or anything like that. So another thing that I thought was interesting that CJ picked up on, she walked past my bedroom, and she said, and The CJ and Robert did not know I had written a book, or they did not know what my book was called, so they wouldn't have been able to read up on it. But she said, I feel Reiki energy coming from that room. And I said, well, I'm a Reiki practitioner, and that is where I do Reiki. And she said, you have a lot of spirit activity out in the hallway, don't you? Excuse me. And I said, I do. We see things a lot in the hall. And she said, well, that's actually a sign of respect. They're staying out of your room. And I thought that was really cool, too.
Very cool. Now, we just talked to Marlene in the first hour about her books, or her book, and she dealt with Echo Bodine. Now, you also had dealings with Echo. Echo came out to your house and kind of talked to you a little bit about the ghosts that you had there and what was going on, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And now, what did Echo tell you? And maybe you can relate to everybody that may not be familiar with Echo Bodine. She is no relation to Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies. But
no.
Tell people who Echo is and what she can do.
Echo is a really well-known healer and psychic in Minnesota. In fact, she's been doing it for a long time before it was popular or well-known. And she came out to my house. They were doing a film of her life. And she came out to my house and sensed five spirits here. Leon was one of them. And one thing that I thought was very interesting is that both Echo and Linda Drake from Texas picked up the same vibe from Leon. That they both felt it was a little bit more gruff than I have felt. But they both had sort of the same almost guarded body language when they were communicating with him, the way you would when you're talking to someone with a strong personality and you want to establish boundaries.
Right.
But yeah, Echo came out and she sensed Leon and four other spirits. And she talked to Leon upstairs, and at that time he was in my room, and he told her that she should leave the house, that he was here to protect the house, and he didn't want to be sent away because his role was to protect the house. And he told her that things had happened in the house that no one was aware of, and that was all he was going to say about that. And we were downstairs, and when Echo came downstairs, she conveyed this information, and I sort of misunderstood. I wasn't there when she was having the conversation, but I saw the videotape later, that I misunderstood that Leon was involved with this, or that, you know, it would just be like a better thing to clear the house and let it be, you know, not have there be spirits here. And I agreed to asking Leon to go to the light. And after I did it, and you can sort of see this in the videotape, I felt like I had sold out a friend, and the house felt very weird and empty for the next weeks and couple months. But when we went back upstairs, Echo said, well, he's gone. And so I just assumed he had either gone to the light because he wanted to, or been sort of offended by my request that he go to the light and that he went. But he ended up coming back, and before he came back, that's when I saw Dark Man, and that's when I had the experience of being pinned down by this thing that I couldn't see and that stuck its tongue in my ear.
Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about when Leon came back? We'll do that right after our next break, okay?
Okay.
And everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Boy, our time is short, Tim. We're running out of time quick. How come when we did a two-hour show, it felt like we were on for 4 hours? Now we do a three-hour show, I feel like I've been on for a half an hour.
Three stop sets, and I'm in your ear all the time. That's why.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is like a time portal jump we're doing here. It's nuts. We've got Annie Wilder on the line with us, and she is one of my favorite authors of a book called House of Spirits and Whispers. I would highly recommend you pick up this book, especially with Halloween right around the corner. Makes a great gift item for that. Pick it up. Scare the hell out of your friends and neighbors and relatives. They're going to love it. Annie's book, House of Spirits and Whispers, she wrote a couple years back, and she's now updating us on some of the cool ghost stories that have happened since then and strange little anomalies. Now, you've had some paranormal groups out there to investigate as well.
Yes, I've had one group. They came out twice, the Northern Minnesota Paranormal Investigators, a cool bunch of people from up on the Iron Range. And Brian Leffler, the guy who runs the group, said that they got more EVPs at my house than they have ever gotten in any private residence. And I do believe that because voices seems to be one of the main ways that my house is haunted, whispers and voices and things like that.
Hence the name of the book?
Exactly.
Also Spirits and Whispers, right?
Yeah, we've had, there are whispers that come through the radiators, and we've had voices come over the telephone and voices left over messages on my answering machine and just heard voices too. And actually, when I called in and spoke to Marianne Winkowski when she was on, I think it was your show, I just called in as a person who lived in a haunted house, and she asked me, she didn't know who I was, but she said, do you have a lot of trouble with your radiators and pipes? Because I think they are spending a lot of time there, or something about, you know, the radiators and the pipes. And I'm like, yeah, that's one of the main ways that they communicate.
Right, and that's been, that was interesting. For people that might not have heard the show a few weeks ago, we had Marianne Winkowski on. She is the real-life ghost whisperer. She is one of the people that the TV show is based on. She has the ability to speak or see the spirits that are in your house and communicate with them. And we thought it'd be kind of fun, since we had just had Annie on the show a few weeks earlier, we would just have her come on the show without telling Marianne who it was, and, you know, almost kind of putting Marianne to the test to see if she could pick up the stuff. And what was really interesting is she was able to go in there over the phone and give you kind of the outlay of your house.
Which is a weird house, because
right,
it had additions and stuff, yeah.
And then she was able to tell you about the spirits and the fact that on the side of the house, on the porch, you have a wraparound porch, and that there's a spirit that likes to hang out there and watch the traffic.
Right, and you know what's weird? I didn't know this at the time, but I found out about a year ago that one of the guys who rented one of the apartments, actually, he loved the front porch, and he died on the front porch. He was out there just sitting in his chair, and he died. So I don't know if that's his spirit or what, but I've had more people come up and tell me about people who died in this house.
Does that unnerve you at all? I mean, you know, it's more like the house of, you know, dead and move out. At this point, I'd be afraid to keep living there.
Well, actually, one of the weirdest things, I'm not afraid overall, because I feel like between my family spirits, which is my Irish grandma, my Irish great-grandma, and my Irish aunts and uncles, and probably my dad's mother and father, too, and Leon, that I am protected in this house. I did have a bad experience this summer of waking up and feeling like I was curled up tight, like legs up to my chest and arms wrapped around myself like a hug. I felt like I was in danger, and I woke up and I saw these little hooded beings that were about, well, I just saw one first. It was probably 4 feet tall. And my impression was that it was trying to pull, okay, I'm a normal person, but my impression was that it was trying to pull my spirit out of my physical body. And I just, like, got hot with shock, because I've never seen anything like that before. And I started praying and doing Reiki protection prayers. And this was actually scarier, because probably I was in shock for the first few seconds, but it just like lifted up and like it was pulled away backwards, like it was still facing me, but it just went backwards out of the room, and there were like three other little hooded beings behind it that went out the same way. So I called my friend in California, who's a psychic, and he said, yeah, that's not someone that you want to mess with. Those are beings that shouldn't be in the house. So,
did she give you any more background on what they are?
He didn't. This part of me doesn't really, I don't know if it would help me to know more about them.
Right.
Or not. I think the thing that I focus on, just like the event of being pinned down, I don't actually talk about that very much unless I'm telling someone about my house.
Right.
Because the salient point about these hooded beings is that they weren't able to harm me, and that they were taken away. That's basically the impression, they were taken away. Not like they left that way, like they were taken out of my house.
You know what's interesting is watching the TV show Ghost Hunters, they've had the opportunity on a few times to, when they've captured a ghost on video, it's a short character that looks cloaked.
Shut up.
No, seriously, we always call them the ghosts of the Jawas from Star Wars. But yeah,
well, I
Tim,
know, it sounds so cliched.
It was on, you know, and here's something, Annie, you should go check. If you look on, go to like YouTube and type in Ghost Hunters, what was it, Eastern State Penitentiary, Tim?
Yep.
Ghost Hunters, Eastern State Penitentiary Ghost. And you see this ghost kind of, they're filming down this little like walkway. You see this thing come towards the camera and it kind of folds in on itself and takes off like a bat out of hell, and its head barely clears the handrail. Well, I've been there. I'm 6'1" and the handrail comes to just about my waist.
Okay.
So this thing's head just barely clears. So it's got to be maybe 3.5-4 feet tall tops, and it goes hauling ass. And then where was the other one? It was in like a bar in the basement by the pool table, right, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's darting around back behind the pool table.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it looks like a Jawa.
Did they move forwards or backwards?
Well, the one on the one at Eastern State Penitentiary almost seems to like it's moving backwards towards the camera and then folds in on itself and takes off away from the camera quickly. It's very creepy.
Things do something that defies the laws of nature or physics as we know them,
right?
It just, you know, bleh.
Yeah, exactly. Is that a professional term in the writing business?
Yeah, I have to write that word.
Excellent.
Actually, I got in trouble from my editor for my last book for making up a word. I said, but it conveys what I want it to convey. I was going to tell you one more thing that I found out researching my book. I've been doing more research trying to find out about the people who lived here, because I've heard from so many psychics that the people who were in this house when it was first built were involved in occult practices. And I always, that was another one that I just couldn't quite envision how it could be true, because the town I live in is a very German Catholic town. It's primarily German, and there were two Catholic churches, and it just didn't seem like that would resonate with occult practices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started really digging in and doing research and knowing that my house was built 20 years earlier than I had thought, of the first, like, 5 property owners, 4 of them were Freemasons. And one of them was the Grand Worshipful Master for the state of Minnesota.
Oh, really?
So if any of your listeners have information about Freemasons and how that might impact a house's energy, I'd be interested. I'm doing research, but it's really hard to find out information about Freemasons.
You know what? Check with a friend of ours. His name is Wayne Herschel, and you can go to thehiddenrecords.com.
Okay.
Again, thehiddenrecords.com. Wayne has done a lot of research and knows quite a bit about the Freemasons, but he might be able to help you out with that. He's out of South Africa, but you can email him. On his website, I think there's a link, but he might be able to give you that information. And I got to tell you, you know, we're sitting here talking, and this has happened to me throughout this show tonight since we started talking to you, and I just gave Tim a look. I'm looking underneath the desk here at the radio station because the table I'm on just keeps banging. Boom, boom, boom. And I looked underneath. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Tim goes, dude, you're haunted. So he's coming in through my headphones. Well, Annie, we're out of time. You've got a great story. Now, are you still doing the tease?
Yes, the teas are on temporary hiatus, but I'm doing haunted teas at my house. And
how can people find out more information about you?
They can go to my website, houseofspiritsandwhispers.com.
Great. Well, Annie, as always, thanks for joining us on the show tonight. Great book.